إن الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن والاه. وبعد, my dear brothers and sisters, we are on the story of Musa alayhi salam, and as I mentioned, it's a very important story from the Quran. Of course, all the stories are important, but this one relates particularly to this ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, because we have inherited the mantle of da'wah from the Bani Israel. And therefore that story is very important, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned it in so much detail. It begins with the birth of Musa alayhi salam. Actually, from before his birth, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes the conditions in Egypt, especially the conditions in which the Bani Israel were living in Egypt. And if you think about those conditions in today's context, especially because today we seem to be in a world where Muslims are apparently hated, and there is hostility towards Muslims in one form or the other, no matter where you are. You know, sometimes we tend to feel intimidated, we tend to feel persecuted. And I remind myself and you the importance of reading history. If you see the history of an Israel, what we are facing today is like a Sunday school picnic. It's not even worth talking about. Because imagine a situation where, with one order of the king, any child that was born to Jewish parents, I mean, those were, actually it's not correct to say Jewish parents, because the Bani Israel were not Jews at that time in the sense of people of the Torah, because the Torah hadn't come. So the Bani Israel, any child born, if it was a male child, information, they had spies everywhere. And the spies were obviously people from Bani Israel itself. Who would inform the agents of the government, and soldiers would come and they would take that child and slaughter it and give it back to the parents. Simple as that. They would take the newborn baby out of the arms of the mother, cut its throat and give it back to the mother. And the females were allowed to live. Now what do you say of persecution of this level? And there is no court they can go to, there is no one else they can appeal to, because the authority of the Pharaoh was supreme. It was supreme to the extent that he was worshipped as a deity. And this issue of being worshipped as a deity, of having people making sajda to him, of considering him as a deity, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions this with regard to Firaun, but this was a common factor in the case of many kings, not only the Firaun, and not only in Egypt. This was the case in India, it was the case in Egypt, it was the case in many other countries where kings were worshipped as deities. Even in Europe, to this day, there is the doctrine of the divine right of kings, where they say that the ruler has been given the right to rule by God himself. All of these are, created theories in order to perpetuate the rule of somebody or the other. And all of this is falsehood. And this is what Islam says, that the only one who is worthy of worship, and that is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalal. It's no king, no queen, no nobody. But this was a common factor. So Bani Israel lived in a condition of such tremendous oppression. And why did that happen? It happened because the magicians and the astrologers of the Pharaoh, and the Egyptians were steeped in astrology and magic. They were supposed to be some of the greatest magicians and astrologers of all time. So they told Ramesses IV that a child, a male child, would be born in the Bani Israel who would be the cause of the destruction of Ramesses and his kingdom. So Ramesses, his solution was very simple. Simple from his point of view, not from the point of view of the people who were suffering from it. But his solution very simple. Male child is the cause of trouble. No more male children. So kill them all. And this happened for Allah knows how long. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself says that this was a very, very great test and a very great, bala, very great musibat on these people. So they were in a state of complete subjugation, a state of slavery that's unimaginable. I mean, I think the thing that comes closest to it is really the slavery of the African Americans when the Africans were brought to America as slaves. Probably that comes close to what the Bani Israel were subjected to, because the kind of torture, the kind of oppression, the kind of cruelty that Africans were subjected to by the whites in America is another story by itself. It's unbelievable. To read it, there's a book called Roots, which I recommend that people should read. Unbelievable, and that's a book of history. And the amazing thing was that a lot of them, a very large number of them, if not the majority, were Muslims, and they were captured and sold into slavery by Muslims. Mostly by the Omani Arabs and by others. Zanzibar was the center for the slave trade. The Sultan of Zanzibar, his wealth came from selling slaves. And this is an absolutely shameful part of the history of Muslims, which is completely haram. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, the one who captures a free person and sells him into slavery will be in Jahannam. Very clear hadith of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Islam does not permit the capturing of a free person and selling that person into slavery. It's completely haram in Islam. There is no concept that this is where people say, how is slavery permitted in Islam? Said, slavery is not permitted. Who told you it's permitted? It's not permitted. What happens to somebody who becomes a slave or becomes enslaved thanks to being captured in war is a different issue. But to capture a free person and sell him into slavery, this is completely haram. Rasulullah said the person will burn in the hellfire. And if you see the kind of tortures, the kind of cruelty that these people, the Africans, were subjected to is unimaginable. I mean, it's today to think that actually human beings did this and made billions. Anyway, when we go to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, all those billions will get counted, believe me. So this is what was happening at that time. Now, it was under these conditions that Musa alayhi salam was born. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes in detail all the circumstances of his birth and what happened. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, we sent wahi to his mother. Ohayna ila ummi Musa. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, we sent wahi to the mother of Musa and said that if you are fearful about your child, he said, keep your child as long as you think the child is safe. But as soon as you feel that this news is now got to the government and the soldiers are going to come for my child, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, put your child in a tabut, in a box, and throw that box in the Nile. Now this is these are some of the ayat of the Quran which I read and I revel in the glory and majesty of my Rabb Jalla Jalal. Ajib, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's qudrat. And this is, if you see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, how he describes other places also in the Quran in relation to other things. It's also in the creation of things of which Allah has created. Some of them I mentioned in my lecture on the glory of Allah. Where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when he wants to show his qudrat, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes all the different conditions of this world and makes all of them negative, where your logic will completely fail, because our logic says if all of these are negative, there is no way that this person or this entity can be saved. Everything is zero. And out of that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala creates what He wants to create. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to show that the conditions of the world and the rules of the world and so on are valid and they are there and one should respect them. But do not imagine that these rules control the one who made the rules. The Musabbibul Asbab is above the Asbab because he is the Khaliqul Asbab. He is the creator of the Asbab. He is the creator of the means. So by all means, take advantage of a situation, take advantage of your education, take advantage of your resources. But don't imagine that these are going to solve your problems. And that is the Tawheed of the heart. Tawheed of the heart is to use resources, but to understand and remember that what the result does not come out of the resources, the result comes because of the hukum and amr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu. Kisi cheez ka ek jagah se hota hua dekhte hue ye janna ke wahan se nahi ho rahi hai aur Allah tabarak wa ta'ala ke hukum se ho rahi hai, iska naam hai tawheed. Moajize ki koi zarurat nahi hai musalman ke liye, moajize ki koi zarurat nahi hai. Tawheed itself is the moajiza. So to see that, you are seeing it. My well-being comes from my business. My financial stability comes from my business, or comes from my job, or comes from the financial planning that I have done, or comes from the post-retirement financial planning that I have done, or whatever you want to say. Because of my education, because I work so hard. Say what you want, and all of that is also true. Yes, indeed, these things do have, they do play a part. But for every single one of these, you know and I know that we can point to people who do not have that, who do not have what you had, who did not work as hard as you, who do not have the kind of education you have, who do not come from the kind of family you come from and so on, yet they have more than you. They are wealthier, they are happier, God knows what. And vice versa, you have people who have the opposite. So what it shows us is that where is your nazar, where is your hope, where is your focus when it comes to the Musabbibul Asbab, when it comes to the Fa'ili Haqiqi, when it comes to the one who actually does something. So is the cure in the medicine or is the cure in the hukum of Allah? And the thing is to ask the heart, you know, all of these things, if you ask a Muslim, do you think the medicine cures? I don't think any Muslim will say medicine will cure even if Allah doesn't want. Nobody will say that. Right? Shifa Allah ke hath mein sab bolte. Dil mein kya hai wo bolo. And that is one thing which one of my shuyukh used to tell me, is to say that when you get a headache, what do you do first? Dua or dawa? A very simple test. If you have a pain anywhere, what is the first thing you do? Reflex action. The reflex action shows the reality of the thing, right? There's a famous case of a man which came before, I think one of Qadi Iyad or one of the great khutba of this religion. A case came, was brought before him where there were these two people. And the culprit who actually did the deed, whatever it was supposed to be a camel driver. Camel driver, which in Urdu we call it Sarban, the camel driver. But when they came to the case, the man denied. He said, I have nothing to do with camels. I've never seen a camel in my life. I don't know anything about camels. I don't know driving camels, whatnot. This man is a liar. He's a cheat. He's blaming me. So this Qadi said, fine, there is no proof. And, you know, we don't know this fellow is a camel driver. What do we do? So he said, okay, go away. And as they were leaving, the Qadi called Sarban. And this man turned around. He called him by the name of, by what you call camel drivers. The man turned around. He said, come back. Now you know who is lying. Because the reflex action, there's something which is in you that tells the truth, even though you may be telling lies. So seriously, we have to ask ourselves in our heart and say, what is the truth in my heart? Do I really believe that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu la hawla wa la quwwata illa billah? Do I believe this? Or is it only on my tongue? And my belief with my heart is all, you know, all the doctors and the businessmen and the New York Stock Exchange and the Bombay Stock Exchange, everything is in my heart. Which one? That is the issue, is not to leave the asbab. This is a very big problem that we have in understanding of Islam. An immediate question, sab chhod ke badh jana kya? Senseless kind of a... The issue is, it's like your shoes. You know, I always give example. I say, your shoes, how much do your shoes cost? Today, any decent pair of shoes is not less than 5,000 rupees, minimum. How much does this topi cost? 10 rupees, maybe 100 rupees is there, you know, whatever. So what will you do? Take that shoes and put on your head? Sirke pe juta rakhe phiro, kya bolo, namaz ke waste juta rakhe hai sir pe. Saab meri 10,000 ka juta hai, topi 10 rupees ki hai. Cheez ka maqam hai, everything has a place. The place for the asbab is not the heart. The place for the asbab is the pocket. The place for the asbab is to use them. Juta hai. It is a shoe, wear it. Nobody says walk barefoot. The shoe is meant to be used. No need to walk barefoot, wear shoes. But don't put the shoe on your head. The place for the asbab and the place for this dunya is not your heart. The place for the what your heart is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu. So it's not a question of leaving the asbab. His question is, take them out from the wrong place where you have conditioned yourself to put them. And this is the story of Musa alayhi salam. This is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is showing. Inshallah, more tomorrow because we are out of time. Alhamdulillah, if Allah gives hayat and tawfiq, we will continue. But this, the whole story of Musa alayhi salam, the cardinal principle behind it is, what is the place of asbab? What is the place of means in my life? Where should it be? And in the story of Musa alayhi salam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is showing, Allah cancels all the asbab. And then Allah does what He wants. And this is to show us that the one who does is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu. It's not the asbab. As I said, we all intellectually we believe all this, alhamdulillah. So that's one step. I'm not saying it's useless. It's not useless. It's one step. But for it to really work, for it to take away the stress of your life, for it to connect you to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, for that thing to give you the confidence to walk on the earth like a man. I'm not saying gender-wise man, but I'm saying man as in with nobility and with presence. This has to be in the heart, not only on the tongue. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to put His rida as our sole aim and to put confidence in Him jalla jalaluhu in our hearts. And to show that in our lives. وصلى الله على نبي الكريم وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين برحمتك يا رحمة الله.